One evening, as you are waking up from anxious dreams, you discover that in the seafloor you had been changed into an octopus. You moved your eight arms to swiftly navigate through the dark seawater. Your usually acute eyesight could not help you at this moment, but somehow you sensed something in the water from the pair of little pockets underneath your eyes. Then you knew where you should be going, and you swam towards another octopus. Your mate.
Now, let's just pause here, and welcome to Jason's podcast.
The scene I just made up describes how octopuses identify their mates. While it appears that we find our mates in a very different way from an octopus, today we're actually going to talk about how octopuses can be a good model to unravel the connection between smells and mating choices in animals, including us. And if you find it difficult connecting octopuses to sex and scientific research, don't worry about it. When I talk to my friends, they all had different things coming to their mind when thinking about an octopus.
I think of octopuses as alien-like creatures with a very weird visual system and extremely high intelligence.
And?
Well, I just feel like octopuses are more like, you know, the monsters in the darkness of the sea.
And?
Octopus are squishy and delicious. I love octopus salad.
This is my friend John, a math major. I still remember how hard it was for me to convince him that octopuses are legit organisms to study smell and preferential mating.
Oh, Jason, I simply could not believe it. I smell by letting air flow into my nose. How can an octopus do that? There is just not much gas in the water.
Well, I told him that smell is not just a detection of cues in the air, but rather the detection of any sort of chemical signals that diffuse and travel across a long distance. In the sea, octopuses could release chemical molecules into the water, and those chemicals will disperse. Those chemicals may be picked up by another octopus. So, smell isn't actually a form of communication for octopuses. But John was still not convinced.
But how do you know that octopuses are actually picky about their partners?
Well, scientists have known that female octopuses share different degrees of willingness to mate with different males. In fact, in some organisms that are highly related to octopuses, we can find some of the most interesting cases of mating with preference. For example, it's been known that female cuttlefish can store sperms from several males and pick which one of them they use to fertilize their eggs. After I explained all of this evidence, John asked his final and the most difficult question.
I got it. Octopuses and some related species have preferential mating. But how do people know that octopus use smell to decide who to mate with? How could they be sure of this connection?
Yeah, that's a little bit tricky. But so far, people do have both indirect and direct evidence for that. First, we know that most octopuses are solitary, so we think they will need some ways to locate mate far away from them. Chemical signals, which can diffuse through the water, will perfectly serve that purpose. Also, if you're not fully convinced by the indirect evidence, experiments have confirmed the role of smell in octopus mating choice. In 2016, a group of researchers in Australia published a paper about the southern blue-ringed octopus. They found that female blue-ringed octopuses show different levels of response to male odors, and quite surprisingly, they tend to mate less with the males whose odors they show heightened response to. The researchers were not exactly sure why this was the case, but one thing was clear. The odors of the males carry some sort of information that affects the female's willingness to mate with them. And this was the final piece of evidence I used to convince John. Now, I have been talking about why octopuses can be used to study the effects of smell on mating choices. However, can what we know about smell and mating in octopuses be applied to other organisms? If not, the octopuses might not be the most useful organisms to study. Therefore, I chatted briefly with my friend Yu Chao, a cognitive science major, to compare how smell can regulate sex in octopuses and mammals. We focus on sexual behaviors in general, which potentially includes the willingness to have sex.
Hey Yu Chao, what do we know about how smells can change our behaviors?
Well, our olfactory system detects different odors and make us avoid harmful substances like toxins in the environment. Specifically, in the brain, if you think of our olfactory system as a restaurant that does delivery, your nose would be the receptionist who notes down what every customer, in this case an odor, wants or indicates.
Yes, I think you can also find such receptionists in octopuses. An octopus uses a pair of little pockets underneath their eyes to detect chemical signals.
Sounds like a possible case for convergent evolution. Then, for mammals, once the receptionist notes down the order, or the odor, they send the order directly through their computer system to the kitchen. Chefs in the kitchen then decide on what to make. So this computer system is called hypothalamus. It passes down the olfactory input and sends information to tell the pituitary gland what to produce. Pituitary gland, in this case, is the chef in the kitchen.
Yeah, I like your analogy here. In fact, octopuses also have a computer system and a kitchen. The computer system in octopus is called olfactory lobe, and the kitchen is called optic gland. And if we follow this restaurant analogy and say, if someone orders a type of dish called sex behaviors, the computer in both mammals and octopuses will send a special order to the kitchen. This special order is called gonadotropin-releasing hormones, or GnRH. Upon receiving GnRH, the chefs will get busy and cook up the dish sex behaviors with their special culinary tools, which are more hormones. This special order exists in us and the octopuses, and both the pituitary gland in us and the optic gland in octopuses regulates the synthesis of important sex hormones that are heavily involved in the control of sexual behaviors.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't know that you can find the same reception, computer, chef axis in mammals as well in octopuses. Perhaps octopuses can be a really good organism or species for studying how smells can influence behavior. However, if we do use octopuses as a model, we need to have inside-out knowledge about their cellular and molecular mechanisms in the olfactory system. How much do we know about that right now?
Here, Yu Chao has asked a very good question. Obviously, more work still needs to be done to study how in octopuses, smell is translated into sexual behaviors on the microscopic level. But we have it established that octopuses use olfactory signals to pick mates, and they share the same pathway connecting smell to sex behaviors with us. While we humans rely mostly on visual cues to find and differentiate between mates, studies of smell and sex in octopuses are still valuable. It's first because we do at least partially use smell to regulate sexual behaviors, and more importantly, we also need to learn how our visual sensation affects mating preferences. And it is possible that we can connect smell and sex in octopuses with the vision and sex in us. Overall, I hope this episode will let you think how each organism on this planet is unique in its own way and could offer unique insight into important biological questions.